I'm going to talk for a minute about getting help. And as we often do, I'm not sure if I'll be able to hear people online, but I will be vigilant about the chat. I overlooked that last week, but I'm glad that we can have some input together. I'd love to hear from you. So in the room, shout out, online, chat. Why might people who need help not ask for help? What are the reasons why somebody needs help and they won't ask? Yeah.
Fear of being judged.
Yeah, very powerful.
They're too confident.
They're too confident. Yeah, they don't need help. Good, yeah. Afraid of what might happen when you get the help. Good. Pride. I see that online. Yeah.
Not trusting the person who's offering help.
Sure, not trusting the one who would give the help. Yeah.
Shame.
Ah, very powerful. Yeah. Yeah, the shame that expressing my need.
Yeah. Not knowing exactly how to ask or what exactly help is
I need. Ah, good. Yeah. So not sure how to ask or what I'm actually asking for. I need help, but I'm not quite sure what it is. Yeah.
Just thinking specifically about veterans, sometimes being in the military and being thinking that you're strong, you should not ask. The culture is meant to look like you're weak.
Yeah, it exposes a sense of weakness and in a culture where you're not supposed to be weak. Yeah. Anyone else?
You might become indebted to them, you know them later.
Sure, becoming indebted, now I need to pay back at some point when I ask for help. Yeah.
Feeling worthy of help.
Ah, not even feeling worthy of the help, yeah.
Maybe not knowing where to find help for what they're going through.
Sure, don't know where to find the help that I need. Yeah. Wow, how does anybody ever ask for help? Well, it's good. These are real, right? It's very real. So, related to it, what prevents people from praying? Praying is a way, in part, of asking for help and asking for help from God. So why might we sometimes find it hard to pray? I should say, I see online, so financial difficulty, meaning I can't even afford the help that I need, perhaps to help with finances. We get caught in a spiral. So what keeps people from praying?
Pride.
Pride, yeah. Same kind of answer. Time. Yeah, it feels like it takes a bunch of time. And, yeah.
Distractions.
Yeah, very real. Yeah.
Not believing that your prayer matters. That
yeah, not believing the prayer is going to do anything. It kind of hits the ceiling and stops there. Yeah.
Feeling like it's less important than like world events, my personal requests. It's less.
Yeah, kind of like I'm not worthy of the help. That I'm there are bigger things for God to be worried about.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Feeling like you could figure it out on your own.
Yeah, feeling we could do this on our own. I could figure this out. I don't need to ask for help. Yeah. Really significant. I don't want you to answer this out loud. What keeps us from praying? What keeps you from praying? And I want to pray and ask for God to help us. This is one of the great things, is that we can use prayer to get better at prayer. Right? So we can pray to say, God, would you help us pray? And so I want to pray for us now, to ask that God would help us as we think today about asking him for help. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you say that you're a good God who delights to give good things when we ask. And yet we confess all sorts of things get in our way. Our pride and our distractions and our feeling of insignificance, of not knowing what to say, not feeling worthy of it. All these different things that get in the way. Sometimes not even believing that you will hear or answer. So we step out in faith right now and say, would you help us today? That today would not be just another time to look at the Bible and say that was a valuable thing. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would do a real and meaningful work in each of our hearts, that you would transform us even now, even today. We'll trust you for that. We thank you for the Bible and the record it is of your communication and of the words of people who wrestled to understand what it is to pray. And so we ask for your work. We'll trust you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, title is Telling Our Story. We're in Psalm 107, and I really encourage you to have that psalm open in front of you. Just a quick update. I had said last week that we're going to have a friend of mine here to preach, and a crisis in his own church. The person who was going to preach for him had a family emergency, so he's preaching. Coy Boyer is preaching in his church, and so I had the privilege to preach here. And Psalm 107 was the scripture reading for today. We'd planned that already, and so decided to take the time to look at this amazing psalm. And I wasn't far enough along to ask Karen to draw for me, so you'll have to put up with my clip art. But we'll talk more about the clip art in a few minutes. Psalm 107. We're going to just read through that together. Again, I'll have it on the screen, but I'd really like to have that you to have that in front of you. Let me just tell you where we're headed. Psalm 107 starts with these first couple of verses saying, if you've experienced God's love, tell your story. If you've experienced God doing good work, tell people. And then we have four stories that are given, stories of God's love and wonderful deeds, and then a set of verses that talk about how God turns the world upside down, and then a call to wisdom that says, given all this stuff, live wisely, do the right thing. So let's just walk through that and see how the psalmist wants to teach us. Psalm 103, starting at verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. So let's stop there for a second. And just want to highlight, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. The Redeemer was somebody who would come and rescue you in trouble. It actually was originally saying your close relatives should be there. If I saw a billboard driving down the highway and it said, if you're at risk of losing your home, contact this agency. They can help. In ancient Israel, that's what family did. Right? If you're at risk of losing your home, family would come, and in particular, it would be the kinsman redeemer. And that's the same word that's used that says, God comes to rescue, like family comes to rescue. And if you've been rescued, tell how God has done it. Tell how God has rescued you. Okay, so now let's look at these stories. Here's the first story about being out in a desert and wandering around. So verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. As we stop and look at this, I'm convinced that the psalmist had in mind both literal and metaphorical things. So some wandered in desert wastelands, and there were people who literally, even today, in violence, in conflict, they wander in desert wastelands looking for a place to settle. And it's metaphorical, right? Some of us, even when we are in a place where we have shelter and we have food, we have what we need, our souls are wandering in desert wastelands, finding no way to a place where we will be safe and secure and welcome. And then verse 6, this beautiful refrain we'll see repeatedly. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. When these people were in trouble, they cried out, and God rescued. And when that happens, again, the psalmist will say repeatedly, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Something I don't like about English is there's a command form, like, let them give thanks, that feels very passive. Don't get in the way of people giving thanks. Somebody said, maybe here's a better translation, and that is, give grateful praise to the Lord. Not just let them give thanks, but give grateful praise. If God has rescued you, tell him. Make it clear. With a heart that is grateful for what he has done, make it clear. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And so this is a psalm that in some ways is it's related to the experience of the people of Israel, but also very clearly says this is what God does for people, whoever they are, wherever they are. When people cry out, he does wonderful things for mankind. So that's story number one as they wandered in the desert. Story number two is people who are in prison. Some sat in darkness, is verse 10. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness. Prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through the bars of iron. Same kind of story, except one really big difference from the first story. Do you notice the big difference? This time, it's their fault. It's because they rebelled against God. They're in trouble because their own sin, because they said, we don't want to go God's way. And in some sense, they got what they deserve. And yet, we're still told, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. God could have said, well, you had a chance to do the right thing. Might sound like a parent, right? So, this is what you get by the choices you made. But no, we're told that God heard them when they cried, we're in trouble and we deserve it. We are in the hardest place. It's, notice down at the bottom, it says he breaks the gates of bronze and the bars of iron. It was impossible for them to imagine a more secure prison than that. However secure the prison is, when they cried out to God, he delivered them. And again, when they were rescued, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. So the second story. We go to the third story, verse 17, for people who were near death. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. So we see again, they deserve their trouble. It was their rebellious ways. It was because of their iniquities of going against what God commanded. They had all sorts of trouble. And yet, even again, when they deserved their trouble, when they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, he saved them from their distress. Even when they deserve it, he rescued them. And again, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them write songs about it. Let them give sacrifices. Let them show that they are thankful to God. They give praise to God for rescuing them, even when it's their fault. And so now our fourth story, verse 23. In the stormy sea, and my dad always loved this one because he was in the Navy and spent time on the seas. And so it's meaningful to me as well, though I don't have that experience that he had. But verse 23, some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards, and they were at their wits' end. So I need to say, I don't know if you noticed in the song that we sang today, we sang that we were praying like drunken sailors. Well, it's not just made up saying, here's an interesting thing to say, here's the expression. Like people who are so lost and realize there is nothing they can do, and they say, we need help. And another thing that's added to this, where did the storm come from? You notice in these verses where the storm came from? For God spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted up the high waves. God is the one who sent the storm. If you know the story of Jonah, right? God sent the storm to get Jonah's attention. And so it is true that trouble is an invitation to cry out to God. Whatever the source, when we're in trouble, this is an invitation. Cry out to God. And it was a hard storm. It was beyond what they could do. That last line, they were at their wits' end, literally means their wisdom was buried. It means that this is a storm beyond all human skill and power and knowledge. There is no human solution. And a storm on the sea meant that. There is nothing that any human could do, which is why the sailors with Jonah cried out to God. Why the disciples were so afraid in a storm that was beyond what they could do. And so then we continue verse 28. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. So again, we see it. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble that no human could solve. There was no way to get out of this, but they cried out to the Lord and he brought them out of their distress. And again, the refrain, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And they were to exalt him in the assembly of the people, in the council of the elders, the most important people in the city. They were supposed to get them together and say, let us tell you what God has done for us. It calls for a public praise. So when you look at these four stories, it goes from the desert at the beginning to the mighty seas at the end. And a Hebrew poetry approach says this means all of life experience. When there's so little water, you're going to die of thirst. To there's so much water, you're going to die in being drowned by the water. The whole range. If the trouble is your fault, if the trouble is somebody else's fault, if the trouble is nobody's fault, cry out to the Lord in your trouble, and he will rescue. And when he does, give thanks. So then, we see in these next verses, again, a comparison for the poet, but he says, you know what? God just turns the world upside down at his choices. And so twice we'll see this, a negative time and a positive time. So these first two verses, verses 33 and 34, God takes what is life-giving and abundant and turns it into a desert. See, he turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. Because people went against God, God took abundance and turned it into great need. He brought the trouble. And then the next set of verses from 35 on is then he also does the opposite. He turned the desert into pools of water and parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. So we see the world gets turned upside down by God. He uses it for his purposes, sometimes taking it from an abundance to poverty, and sometimes going from poverty into abundance. And verse 39, we'll see that continue. Again, it starts negative. These people who were in abundance, but they rebelled. So then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. Again, God took them from a place of comfort, of abundance, and brought them into trouble because of their pride. And then for those in need, verse 41, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increase their families like flocks. The upright see it and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. God turns the world upside down, and what we see is that God uses trouble to prompt us to pray. Right? God sends the storm. He sends need to say, I want you to pray. I want you to cry out to me. And these verses also show that God can make a way when there is no way. When we look and say there is no way to break the bars of iron, the door of bronze, I can't do it. But God can do it. God can make a way where there is no way. And so he says, will you pray? And then the last verse 43, says, see and be wise. It says, let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. If you're wise, look at this and live according to it. And I think it's saying to be wise, to live according to these realities, first of all, is God's great love and wonderful deeds. This is a description of what God is like. He is a God of great love, and he loves to do delightful things. And he does it when people cry out to him. Right? When people cry out and say, God, I need your help. I need you. I need your rescue. And God, in his great love, just does delightful things. And when people cry out, he does it. And people cry out when they hear about God's great love and deeds. He says, go tell people about this. Make sure people know this is what God is like. Tell other people so that they also can cry out to him. Right? So to live according to this reality, God's great love and wonderful deeds, they come when people cry out to him. And they'll cry out to him when they hear about God's great love and deeds. So very simply, I look at the psalm and say the big idea is that God wonderfully helps those who cry out to him for help. This is what God is like. It's the word for this wonderful help is delight. God just does delightful things, powerful things, beautiful things when people cry out to him for help. Sometimes I think that we can hold on to a form of good teaching about a relationship with God, yet miss the core idea. And I think this is the most important core to remember about the gospel, is that God took action to rescue us as we cried out to him. Right? We start to think, but I need to earn this. I need to be good enough. I need to be a better person. And all those things are true. We need to be better. But here's the core of our relationship with God. He rescues us as we cry out to him. So, here's my clip art today. One of the things that makes animals and plants different is how they get food. So somebody tell me, how do plants get food?
Sunlight.
Sunlight. And what do they do with that sunlight? What's that? Photosynthesis. And what's photosynthesis? You take sunlight and you make food. Yeah. The plants actually make their food. They get the sunlight and they make food. So tell me about animals. Where do animals get their food? Plants. And animals that eat plants, right? Animals can't live without plants. Plants are fine on their own. Wipe all the animals off the planet. Well, some will struggle getting their seeds spread around, but they're going to be fine. But if you have animals and take away all the plants, we'll die, right? Because we can't make our own food. We have to go get it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. He is the source of food. He is food. And we can't live without receiving from God. Bottom line, we cannot live without receiving from God. He's fine without us. In fact, he is the nourishment that we need. But without him, we cannot live. He's a rescuer. He's somebody who provides. But without him, we cannot live. So why do we try to live without God? Why do we think, well, praying, that's kind of, I need to get up and do my work. I need to get real stuff done. Right? Why do we think we can live without God? It's like animals who think, well, I'll just work at it. Maybe I can figure out how to make my own food. And they can't. It's not in them. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do just a little bit. No, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? Nothing. You can't do anything apart from me, he said. And we keep thinking we can do it on our own if we try hard enough. If we get the right techniques and the right people and start off the day right, we could do it. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing that matters, nothing, and even the breath itself, we cannot do without him. We can do nothing apart from him. And yet God in his kindness wonderfully helps those who cry out to him for help. And there is no other way. Other than the help of God, there is no other way. We can't make this whole system work. We can't make our individual lives work. We can't make society work. The reason we can make it look like we're doing it is it's all borrowed. We're all using the food that's in effect been stored up from God, and we live on it. But we cannot truly live without God. And he invites us to cry out to him to say, I need your help. And so, back to the question, why don't we pray? Well, sometimes we don't pray because we're proud. We don't want to ask for help. I can find my way without resorting to having to stop and ask somebody. Because I don't want people to know I'm not sure. Right? We don't want to. And yet there is no other way. So the application today is very simple. It's pray and tell. I want to do the first one first. Pray. So let's go back to it again. We cannot live without receiving from God. We can't live without receiving from God. I'm a private pilot. Some of you know that. And one of the things that's, you know, when you're driving your car down the road and your engine stops, that's it's a problem. But you just, you know, slowly pull off to the side of the road and park. Doesn't work quite so well in an airplane when the engine stops. But here's an amazing thing. When the engine quits, you might not know it quit because the propeller still goes around and there's still lots of wind noise. And actually, you're going down, but you might not even know the engine quit because it still feels like flying. You're still flying. The propeller's still going around. There's still sound going by. And I think that's the human condition. We think we're doing fine because the propeller's going around and there's wind blowing over the wing, but the engine quit long ago. And we do this together and we do this individually. We can't live without receiving from God. He's given us a gift like a battery that's going to wear down if we don't turn to him. We can't live without receiving from God, and we receive when we ask. Right? So we need to pray. When we need help, we need to cry out to God. And when don't we need help? God's redeeming, unchanging love can deal with every circumstance, in every condition. That's what the psalmist said. From having no water to drowning in water, the whole range. When you deserve it, when you don't, whatever the situation, God can handle all of that. His redeeming, unchanging love can deal with every circumstance, in every condition. And God steps in when we pray. So here's a picture of how life is supposed to go for people who know God. Call on me in the day of your trouble, God says. I'll deliver you, and you will honor me. This should be like breathing for us, right? We go through life, and it's like, oh, there's another concern. Well, I'll pray. God says, okay, I'll be there. I will work, and then you can honor me. This is the fundamental relationship that we have with God. So why do we try? Why do we live as though we're doing pretty well, and in an extreme case, we'll pray? I mean, it's really bad. You know, when the mountain's right in front of us and we're flying into it, we'll pray then. But why do we think we could do it on our own? And this can be big and small things. I lost two things recently. One was worth about $20. One was worth about $300. In both cases, it's like, well, I'll pray. I don't know if God has time to be worried about these things that I've lost. And in this case, I found them again. But I don't know what God will do. So if you go to a doctor, this is the right attitude to have. The right attitude to have is, I have concerns, right? I'm not sure. I feel unhealthy. I know about this. Give me a plan. What should we do? And sometimes the doctor says, well, you know what? You need to change your behavior because you're leading to your own trouble. Sometimes the doctor says, let's do surgery. We can fix this in a moment. I've got a pill. I'll give you that and we'll take care of it. And sometimes the doctor says, we're going to find a way to work our way through this. So when we go to God and we pray, what we should do is say, God, I've got a concern. Tell me the plan. And sometimes God says, here's the plan. I got it fixed. We'll solve that right now. And sometimes God says, okay, I'm glad you're concerned about this. Let's work on this together. We're going to deal with some things. We're some changes of behavior. Sometimes he says, I'm going to use this in a challenging way. We go to him and say, what's the plan? We cry out to him in our trouble, and I don't know how he'll deliver, but he always has a plan, and he will always work it. And we will find deliverance. And so this is small things, like losing some things. It's big things, like a friend that we visited this week who's dealing with pancreatic cancer, and it's a hard, hard journey. And so we pray, not knowing what this will be. It's praying about your relationship with your parents, and you live at home, and you're trying to figure out how to navigate this. Or parents living with the kids and trying to figure out, how do we navigate this? It's relationships, it's career, it's self-identity, the whole range of things. I don't know what it is for you. But we're called to pray. And so the statement again, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. So I go back to the question, what keeps you from praying? What keeps you from going to the doctor, so to speak? Say, I know I'm sick, but I think I'll just do it on my own, right? Why don't we pray? And one thing I would like to recommend is a key step, is to ask someone to pray with and for you. Don't do this alone. Ask somebody to pray with and for you, even if they say, you say, I can't tell you everything, but I would really appreciate prayer. And I would like to just pray right now. So here's what I'd like to do. We've done this a couple of times in the past. I know that in this room, there are some heavy burdens. There's some real significant distress for us as individuals and for people we love. And what I'd like to do is just invite you, if that fits you, and you want us, without knowing details, to pray together. I'm not going to ask your name or anything, but I would invite you, if you feel the distress for yourself or somebody that you love, would you just stand? And just stand for a moment, and we'll pray. And you know what? If you know these people, there's a good chance that I think I know some of the burdens they have, or I have no idea what their burdens are, or they're the ones they love. But we will pray. And we will believe that when God hears, he works. He's got a plan. He will take action. So I'd just like to invite you now, if you would like us together just to pray, would you stand? If it's a concern for you or someone you love, that you're burdened for them, and together we will pray. So yeah, go ahead and stand up if you'd like for that prayer. Anyone else? Oh, God sees. Jesus intercedes, right? He sees you standing, and he intercedes, and he prays, and we want to pray together. So I'm going to open this up in a time, and I just ask in silence if you would pray your own concern, but as you look around, you see the other people, pray for them and the people they love, that God would work. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, there are people who need help. And you know the stories, you know the hearts of each person who is standing today, and those who are standing in their hearts, even though standing up is not the thing to do now. Oh, we ask, would you come? Would you help? Would you rescue? Would you do your work in hearts and minds and bodies? And I pray that even as we pray in silence, that you would lead us and you do your work in each of our hearts, that you would reassure us of your amazing love and your wonderful work to all who will cry out in prayer. Please hear our prayers in silence. And Father in heaven, for some of us who are standing, it seems like the gates are made of bronze and the bars are iron. And we can't see a way. We've tried and we don't know what to do. Our wisdom is buried. And yet we look to you. So we ask God, in your power, in your goodness, in your amazing love, you would do your work. That you would do wonderful things. We'll submit to your wisdom. We'll do as you choose. And yet we know that you will act in great love. Father, I pray that you would reassure each person who's represented in those standing that you would do a work of opening their hearts to you. And that you would show your great love. And whether we experience the healing, the transformation, the rescue right away in wonderful ways, or we live our lives awaiting it, I pray that we would know your great love and your wonderful work. We thank you for your great love. And Father, we know beyond us, there are so many people in this world in deep distress today. We pray that people would cry out to you. And that when they do, they would experience your great love and see your wonderful works that you do in response to prayer. Thank you for that love, and thank you for your attention to each one who has cried out today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Yeah, please be seated. An amazing thing. God listens to prayer and he is working now as we have prayed. So I just want to highlight the second part, and that is to pray and tell. To give grateful praise to God. It says, will you pray and then will you tell? Will you give grateful praise? And so here's a powerful statement I saw this week. Anyone whom the Lord has rescued is responsible to be a witness to God's power and love. If God has rescued you, if he's come and shown his goodness, it's your responsibility to be a witness to that. We do that so that everyone can rejoice in God's acts of deliverance. Can say, wow, is God good? We rejoice together in what he has done. And so that everyone can also cry out to God. So we're to pray and we're to tell when God has worked. We're to pray publicly and privately. That is a wonderful idea about private praise. When we in our hearts say, God, thank you. This is what turns rescue into salvation. See, people can experience blessing from God, but without turning that God back to God in praise, it's not a salvation. It's not a work in their soul. It's when we say, God, thank you. Praise be to you for your goodness. For your love that I don't deserve. And so it's so important privately to say, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your work in my heart, in the lives of people. Thank you when we praise God. And we're to tell publicly, right? To praise God so that others can also find help in God. So you know this God? Do you know what he's like? And I want to say it in two parts. One is to tell Christians and the other is to tell non-Christians. It's so important to tell fellow Christians, to remind each other that God is working in power, to remind each other that God is in the business of making a way when there is no way. He's in the business of changing hearts because, you know, sometimes we wait a long time and we need the encouragement that says, even when I can't see God working, he is. And people need to hear when God is at work to be encouraged. That this is who God is and what he is like. And he's always at work. And if you've persevered in prayer and after a long time you see God working, boy, we need to hear that. We need to hear how God has worked even when it looked slow. And we need to tell non-Christians. Right? We need to let people know that God is working in power. To let people know there's a God who answers, who listens to people in need, who cry out to him. People need to know this. The world isn't standing up and saying, you know, if you call out to God, it might be a good idea. Right? The world says you haven't worked hard enough yet. Or you've got bad ideas. Or you're not a good person. That's why the place is a mess. The world doesn't say, you know what, we're all in trouble because we all need God. And so will you cry out to him? So I'd say ask for the opportunity and for the help to tell other Christians. Thanksgiving's coming up. What a great time to say, you know what, this year, here's something I have seen God do that shows his goodness. He's at work when we pray. Maybe as you walk out of the building today, you're walking with somebody and you say, you know what? Here is something God is doing that is good as I pray. We need to tell each other and ask for the opportunity to say, God, help me know how to do this. And telling non-Christians, we need to ask for the opportunity and for the help to do it. So many people think that church is all about good people coming together and judging everybody else. And that's so wrong. Church is about a whole bunch of people who need God's help, and we pray, and He helps because of what Jesus has done. And so people don't know that. They think we're a bunch of self-righteous people. They need to hear that I was in need, and I cried out for help, and God heard. So I want to encourage you, you can speak louder than Jesus. You can have a more convincing voice than Jesus himself. If Jesus were in the flesh, there are people that you could reach that he could not. It's a bold statement. But this is what happened in a story when Jesus went into a non-Jewish area. Can you imagine Jewish people and non-Jewish people in conflict with each other? He went as a Jewish man into a Gentile area, and he did amazing things. And it says, then all the people of the region, the Gerasenes, asked Jesus to leave them. Jesus, the Son of God, they said, could you leave? We don't like you around here. And then this man whose life had been a mess, and Jesus helped. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus said, sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. He had a voice that Jesus did not. Do you think we could be in a society, a time when people are suspicious of authority? They don't trust authority. Duncan, I sat in a class that Duncan was teaching in Myanmar, and he says one of the things that's on his heart is to bring innovation to farming. There are better ways for people to raise their rice and better species and better crops, and we could make this so much better. So how do we get it to happen? Well, people in the government tend to think, well, let's just tell them this is what we think is better. And you know our world today. The government says, here, we think you ought to do this. What do people naturally say? Not on your life. Well, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. What they need is a neighbor who has done it and said it worked. So what do people need about God? They need a neighbor who has said, I prayed, and God worked. And then if they have a colleague at work or in school who says the same thing, they say, wow, really? I keep hearing this, that there's a God who loves us and who responds to prayer. And if a pastor shows up and he says, here's what I think, that's not going anywhere. But if their neighbor says it, if their colleague says it, if one of their friends says it, say, wait a minute, there's something there. So the question, who are you going to tell today? Who are you going to tell this week? If you've experienced God's work, it's our responsibility to tell. To say, this is what God is like. To say, here's how things work with God. People call on God in the day of trouble. God delivers them, and they honor him. And so I want to directly ask you to think for a moment, who's somebody, where's someplace that you could say, God helped me when I was in need, and I deserved the trouble I had. And yet when I prayed, God worked. That people would know there is a God of great love who is at work in the world, is turning the world upside down to demonstrate his goodness and his love. So I invite you I'm going to invite the music team, if you guys want to come on up. But while they're coming up, I just want to give you a second to think and to say, who is it? Somebody today, somebody this week, and I could say, God, would you help me? And we're all the ones who need help. We're all the ones that today, I can tell you about how he delivered me in the past week, in the past month. I can tell you about that, but today I need it again. And so our application is to pray and to tell. So let's pray. Father in heaven, you are an amazing God. It is an incredible thing that you are so kind. You're so good. And you're in the business of turning the world upside down. You sometimes send trouble so we will pray, So, Father, I pray that you would help us to pray. And as we pray and see you work, I pray that you would help us to tell each other of your goodness. And that you would help us to tell the world around us, the people we know, the people we're in relationship with, our neighbors and our colleagues, and somebody whose locker is next to mine, somebody who's in the same class, somebody who's my boss or my employee or whatever it might be, a relative. I pray that you would help us to tell your goodness, that you are the God who hears and your great love, and you do wonderful things as we pray. In Jesus we pray. Amen.